Today is the 30th of April, and we are in between Psukim, Tesvav, Teszayin, and so forth. We left yesterday with a little bit of a question. How is it if we're going to follow the Shita of the Zer Chodesh and the Evan Ezer? If the Evan Ezer says, and Zer Chodesh says, that there was Geirus prior to the marriage or concomitant with the marriage, how is it that Naomi is actively working to dissuade them from being Jewish and is sending them back to where they came from? How could that be?
Because if the conversion wasn't serious, I mean...
Okay, so if Evan Ezra says that the conversion was, and the Zer Chodesh says it was, how is she doing that? If it wasn't serious and wasn't for real, okay, so then we're okay. Then we can understand how that can be. But we are in a little bit of a dilemma. We went through yesterday some of the proofs that would say there was no conversion, but we also had statements like the Zer Chodesh that said, how are you talking that Machla Mechilion would marry non-Jewish women? So we're back and forth with this. We do have the famous statement of Rabbi Meir, which is quoted several times, Lo Yid Bilum, they were not converted, they were not immersed. So where are we? So if one other possibility, we'll look at one other possibility today of what the situation was, and then we'll look at what Naomi said to Rus and what she was saying to Rus about Arpa. I actually found a mucker for that in that book, in that sefer that Abba Rosenthal loaned me. I actually found a mucker for that statement that he made. Okay, here's another possibility. Again, to try to resolve the question of how it is that Naomi is saying, go back to do whatever you're going to do in Moab. I am b'sefer from Moadim Mizmanim. Shekos of Derus v'arpa ketanos hayu kishenis l'machlo v'chilyon. They were ketanos when they married Machlo v'chilyon. Now, this could give us some resolution of our problem. Why? V'chemavur, it says in the Taisus in Yevamos, we're going to look at that in a second, that Rus was called Nara, a young girl at all the times. V'im kain nizgayru kaidim shenisayim. They converted before they were married. Deschus elam, because they had a schus. What schus did they have? Diger cotton madbilin oisar adas bezin. They would have a schus to be married to these to Machlo v'chilyon princes who were coming from Beis Lechem Yehuda, and they were converted not by Machlo v'chilyon, which was something we mentioned yesterday was a little bit iffy, but they were converted adas bezin while they were ketanim, which is what happens today with babies. Because how does a baby convert? How does an adopted baby or a baby that's of Gentile parents, how do they convert a baby? A baby can't say, I accept all mitzvos. Baby's 10 days old. So what do they do? Right. They're converted al das bezdin, and that has to get reaffirmed later for a girl around 11, 12, for a boy around 12, 13. So now this could kind of fit. Now we are accepting the fact that they're marrying little girls, but we'll put that.
Little girls, 10 years.
Right. So we'll have to put that aside for a second. But in any case, he said, "Ulai lo hayalem oz of ukshenisu the nichbadim keelu b'vada lahen ein lechoschus yeter." Remember, Eglon was killed. He died. He's gone. These girls are pseudo orphans in those days, having no father and just a mother was might as well be an orphan. So they're kind of orphans. They're going to marry these wealthy fellows, these Jewish boys who've come over. Aval achar kach, kishemesu baleihen. However, once the husbands died, the whole incentive, the whole reason for them to stay married / Jewish, dissipates. So now what do we have? Don't stay with me anymore. You're getting nothing out of it. Go back to where you were. And it's not a big stretch to go back to where you were if they were converted as ketanos al das bezdin. Because we know anyone who's converted al das bezdin can actually protest, if you will, and undo what the bezdin did. It's sort of, as you mentioned, it's sort of al tanai. It's sort of a conditional. It's probably that you'd probably express it better that you are Jewish unless you say otherwise. It's what we call an opt-out. It's not you have to opt in. In other words, if you don't protest, you remain Jewish. and how that exactly happens, he mentions here. Now, you'd have a no better example than that. If she says to them, whatever age they are, go back to your families, your husbands are now dead, the reason for your being converted and Jewish has vanished, go back to your families, and they say, okay, we're going. That kind of shows what their intent was. That their actions surely show it.
So, according to that, Orpah is disaffirming, she's opting out.
Right.
Ruth, in this famous speech, is affirming her.
Yes, yes. So then we have the situation where Orpah's conduct, not anything she says, right? They cry, they have a teary separation one from the other, but she goes back. Ruth doesn't.
So that's
a good question. Actually, we're going to deal with that in a second, because that's going to depend, though, on what was her motivation here. If, in fact, these were good conversions, and she's trying to say, give it up, return, go back, that would be a problem, right? If, however, these are not good conversions, and she's basically saying, look, you are in a position where you were converted al das bezeth as katanos for the purpose of coming into this family, marrying the husbands, however you want to say it. Now they're gone. The motivation is gone. Why don't you just go back? Wouldn't be so bad, right? She's going to put them to the test that every child is sort of put to at 11 or 12. But how do we put those children to the test? You don't call the child in, sit him down, put a light on. Now look, what do you want? We're trying to glean because it wouldn't work. What are you going to say to a 12-year-old, 11-year-old girl who was raised, who was converted at birth, you know, as a baby, and has no family, no friend, no nothing? What are you going to say? Look, we've supported you, we've raised you, we've loved you, you're our daughter, and all is good and well. If you don't like this, you can get out. What is she going to do? So what's that? What's that going to show you? So the actions are going to become a little issue. Is she going to leave? She has no place to go. These have some place to go because they know their former. So it says, "V'arpa be'emeshava, ma'shein kein rus." So it looks like, as you just said, it looks like Orpah has said, "I'm going to opt out," and Rus says, "I'm going to stay in." V'kibla al daito, that is, v'kibla al atzma, that is to say, Rus prate yagerus. She is now accepting for herself all the details of gerus. What does a ger katan do when he becomes 12, 13? What happens exactly? The fact that he doesn't protest is really what tells us. It shows that he has accepted the Mesorah.
It seems to be a problem like today because, you know, I don't know about those times, but then you'd expect almost to be 20 years old because the person doesn't have real das, 12 or 13, like you said. What are they going to do? So they say, all right, they don't protest, but it would seem like it would be better to almost wait. I mean, I don't know if it works that way a lot.
Well, what happens halachically now? I mean, you're right, and now it's probably even more so. Maybe they were more mature then.
Right, that's what I'm assuming.
But we want to see a lack of protest by the 11 or 12-year-old. Some of it's symbolic, right?
Right.
As I said before, what's the 11-year-old girl going to do? You're the only family I've ever known. We've been together forever. But I really don't like this Jewish thing, so I'll see you. What's she going to do? Where's she going? Right, yes, they're a full-fledged Jew and they can't back out. Now, would you let the 11-year-old back out? Because then that brings us to a question. Is she really a bar das enough to back out?
Exactly, yeah.
Does she understand what it means to back out?
Yeah.
I'm mad at my parents. How many stories, you know, I'm mad, I'm running away. So the kid runs away from home for about 10 minutes. And then it starts to get dark and they come right, or they run away to the backyard. And then they come back. So what does that mean? Did they run away? Which they didn't run away. Behind the Davka, she misses Yachli and Baila. So while she was living, either one of them, were living with their husbands, it was easy. Oh, Mishpacha Hashem and Mitzvahs. That's our cases today, right? They're living in a religious home. Where are they going to go? The Oz, Etzem Adover, Shein Mochin, Have Kabbalah. Avok Shemes Bala. Now she really has an opportunity to do something. Her husbands there, have died. Or the family that she's with are going or disintegrating. Like I Gavna, Kivan She'enu Chacha, B'mesh She'enu Mochin, Tzrich Kabbalah Davka. Maybe there, in that case, we do need some affirmative statement on the parts of Rus and or Orpah that they want to stay. Because we can't just assume it. They're not just going. Things have disintegrated now. There's no more husbands. Mother-in-law isn't staying in Moab, wherever they were living. There's no family left. There's no life left. There's no home. There's no nothing. So maybe we do need some affirmative commitment on their part. We can't just continue to go along with the way things have been gone. And for that, we're going to assume that that's right. There was no, the Gedolim, whoever they were, who did convert them conditionally, if you will, when they were little, didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong there at all. There was a Sofik, im yamdu bi'hadusam. V'chein b'emes, b'sof, Arpa decided, of, she went back. She decided to go back, and Rus didn't. So one way that we could kind of resolve this is to take that derech and say these were conditional or pseudo-conditional conversions, and that we can let them, let Naomi's statements to her, to them, be the test. Do you really want to stay with it? Are you really going to remain in the fold, if you will? Now, what does Naomi say once Orpah kisses her goodbye, well, shakes hand, whatever, walks away? What does Naomi say that gave us a little bit of trouble yesterday? Giving people trouble for hundreds or thousands of years, but gave us trouble yesterday. Vatomer hine shava yivim teich elama v'el eloheho. Your sister-in-law has returned to her people and to her gods. How does she know that? How does Naomi know that? She turned and walked away, which means she's ostensibly going back. But how does she not know that she's going to go there and be Jewish there? How does she know that she's going to go and be non-Jewish there? So in the Medrash in Rus, in Rus Rabba Parsha Beis, asks this question. Mehechan yado ma b'lev arpa. How did Naomi know that she's returning to her gods? She didn't like raise a flag and say, okay, I'm a Vizardic. All she did was, in essence, say, you know, you're right. I'm going home. I'm going back to my mother's house. Does that mean she's going to do a Vizardic there?
What Jewish infrastructure existed in Moab at that point? There's only one Jewish family that was there.
Okay. So, his point is well taken. And the quote is a posik in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim is v'yisar b'goyim v'yilm nadu me ma'aseihem. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? She's not going to Moab for a one-week visit to look at the excavations in Petra. She's going back to Moab ostensibly for good. What do you think is going to happen there?
We had a kasha on that because Yisrael went back and he went to convert and died. You know, same thing. I mean, maybe you know, there were no yidden there and there were no shuls.
True. You could and. You know, Yisrael was a special personality, but for now, Hakavana ki af imato lo shav begolui el Elohewa. Even if let's give Arpa the benefit of the doubt. Let's give Arpa benefit of the doubt. She was sincere, but the living circumstances was such. I have no husband. I'm going to go back to Israel to Beis Lechem Yehuda. No one's going to marry me there. I'm hooked up with this older lady and my sister / sister-in-law. They're right. I'll go back and I'll be pseudo-Jewish in back in my house in Moab. That's as she thought that. Imata lo shava begolu elohel, mikol makom. Shivsa alama tigrom be'osid shetoshuv gam elohel. Whether she intended to go back that way or not, surely that's going to be the result. What do you think will happen? Right? What do you think will happen? A person came to me one time who was sending his son to this kid had gone through an elementary school, Jewish school, the whole thing, and for high school, he decided that it was more important to get a good secular education than to be in a Jewish school. Sent the kid to a fancy coeducational preppy school around here someplace, and the teacher or somebody called and said, you know, your son is kind of like being affectionate with the girl on the bus, holding hands with the girl. It's not nice. Huh? So the father came, he's all upset. I said, what do you think is going to happen? What you're the only Jewish kid there with a very waspy, preppy, what do you think is going to happen? So what do you think is going to happen here? You're sending her, he's going to be fine. You're sending this you're putting Orpa into this situation, you know what's going to happen. So lefi dvarim elu yesh levar atam b'sefer dekra. I shouldn't have recorded that. Lefi dvarim elu yesh levar atam b'sefer dekra. Shuvi achri yivim tek. So when Naomi says return after your sister-in-law, this is the piece that I saw in that originally in that sefer. Dichlora tzarechian lamatziv says Naomi l'rus lachzer lelechin nechar. She's now telling Rus also to go back to Avodah Zarah activity. She is one. Remember, Arpa doesn't say, I'm going back to my gods. Arpa just doesn't do anything. She just leaves. I mean, she kisses her goodbye. She doesn't walk away with it. And then she leaves. It's Naomi who says, to Rus, Shava Yivim Teich El Amah V'El Elohel. Naomi is the one who says, Arpa's going back to do Avodah Zarah. Arpa never said she was going to. Rose never said, hey, look, she's leaving to do what is her. Naomi said that. So why'd she say that? Lefia now, maybe, the Naomi Choshesha, Shebechazaris Arpa Levade Elama, Besoif, Tum Masin Lover of Edizar. She thought, if Arpa goes back by herself, this is maybe what he was writing about in that book. If Arpa goes back by herself, she for sure will be lost. It's bad enough she's going to live in Moab, but she's going to live in Moab alone, with nobody else who's trying to do a Jewish way?
No support system.
Nothing. No supports. Nothing. Nothing. She doesn't have a shul. She doesn't have a kol. She doesn't have nothing. Nothing. She doesn't even have Acme. She doesn't have anything. Ulechein tziv solerus lashuv acharivim. He says, you know what? Go with her. Go with her. So maybe that's what he wrote in that sefer. Maybe that's what she's saying. Go, it's a little unusual, but go, and maybe between the two of you, neither of you will do Avodah Zarah. Neither of you will do Avodah Zarah. So the Medrash in the Gemara in Sukkah says, consistent with what Neil you said a minute ago, you go the way of your gods. These nations, if you're going to go and be part of that nation, then you're going to be doing the Avodah Zarah of that nation as well. That it's all tied into one. So these nations that are doing Avodah Zarah, that's what's going to happen. So when she... Kishava arpa l'umasa mimela hichnisa satsma gam lavuris eloi ha'uma. Kivan tezeba zehem tluyum. There's no way out of it. They're interwoven. There's no separation of church and state in Moab. That's what's going to happen when she goes back there. So perhaps, that is why Naomi is saying to Rus, maybe if there's any hope for Arpa, it's you. If you go and be with her, maybe you'll stay strong. Now, that kind of, in a way, seems wicked almost. As you said at the beginning, it's kind of wicked because she's basically sacrificing Rus. Arpa left, Rus didn't. So Rus is obviously indicating she wants to stay. Rus is clearly the stronger one, right? So now she's saying, you sacrifice, you go too. Well, she's putting her at risk as well. And one last point on this, we'll move on to something else. This explains, according to one of the statements here, that we have a Gemara in Ksubas, right near the end. It's talking about the mitzvah of whether there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and it says there, "Shekol hadar bechutz laaretz doma kemi she'ein lo Eloah." That anybody who lives in the chutz laaretz is a godless person, a person who has no God. What does that mean exactly? Sherak beretz Yisrael ve'yum akla Yisrael. Every country, every nation is connected to the God of that nation. Now, whether we like to admit it or not, we're in a country here there are a lot of Jews, but it's obviously not a Jewish nation, not a Jewish country.
In the 1800s, the rabbis in Europe were telling the Jews not to go to America. They said the air was treif.
There's a story that America, if you read America, the word America in a different accent, what's it come out to be? Amareka.
Oh.
An empty nation, a nation of nothing. There is a there was a Rav who came to America, I don't know when, maybe around the time of the First World War, right after, who wrote a kind of a parody on America called Maseches America, a Maseches Kama America, about all the craziness that he said. Can you imagine what religious life it was in America in the 20s? I mean, the only religious life you hear about then, Yechidim, very rare. There was not very much here at all. And they were not successful in what they were. I mean, the big talk in those days with the gangsters didn't, the Jewish mafia didn't kill other people on Shabbos. But there was really very little. And he wrote this Maseches America and said, I can't possibly stay here, and went back to Europe in the early 30s. Where he was ultimately killed in the Holocaust. So it certainly shows what happens. He said, Hadar bein ha'omim v'chutz la'aretz hareyu ki'ilu machniyas atzma tachas elwe osa uma v'doma ki'ilu ein lo eloah. So he said, really, and we certainly see that. I mean, as much as this country is a Medina shel chesed, and we have our rights and we have our freedoms, you know, we still, there are anti-Semitic events in this country every day. Whether they're minor and someone yells Jew at you when you're walking home from shul, and we just ignore it because this is the country we're in. But it still is. So this is what we saw. This is what Naomi knew was going to happen to Rus. Happen to Arpa, and hopefully Rus would help her out. Now, what happens after this? She's leaving and she says, don't go, don't make me not stay with you. Stop hocking me not to stay. I'm going to stay. I'm here to stay. I'm going to stay here. What's their discussion? We have the statement, the exchange between Rus and Naomi. She says, don't make me leave. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you live, I'll live. So the Gemara in Yevamos, Rashi quotes it here in part. There's a Gemara in Yevamos, which explains that this is along the lines of the halachas of what we have to do when a potential ger, that is someone who comes forward who wants to become a ger, what we have to do to dissuade them. And here we have examples of Naomi now trying to explain the halachas to Rus, and Rus's answers, where you go, I'll go, where you sleep, I'll sleep, where you'll be buried, I'll be buried, are not just proclamations on Rus's part, but are instead the response of Rus to Naomi teaching her halacha. So that's an interesting piece. It's in the Gemara in Yevamos, Mem Zion Amud Beis. It's if you look at the Gemara later, it's about a third of the way down. So the pasuk that says "Vatera kibis hametzas hi lalechas," Naomi saw that it's not working. She's not giving up. She's going. So she begins to discuss with her various halachas, as we would with a potential convert, and they try to make it hard. We don't say, "Oh, you know, Friday night dinners is a wonderful time to spend with your family." They don't tell her that. They try to make it a little bit. They try to make it worse. So she says to her, you know, Asirlan, this is Naomi Terus, Asirlan Tchum Shabbos. You know, on Shabbos, you can't go more than 2,000 amos in the directions. And this actually has an interesting piece, because remember before learned that they were traveling, they were maybe walking back on Yom Tov. So how were they going on Yom Tov, and were they going outside Tchum? Anyway, he said, Asirlan Tchum Shabbos. What does Naomi says that. There's a Tchum on Shabbos. What does Rus respond to her? Basher telchi elech. Wherever you go, I'll go. If you say it's too far, I won't go any farther. If you say this is far enough, I'll keep going. I'll go where you go. Okay? That didn't work. So she says, you know, Aserlan, the you know part I'm adding, Aserlan yichud. It's not permitted for a woman who's not related to this, to male, to be alone for, you know, a long period of time, together with the male, the din of yichud. She says, "Basher talini alin. Wherever you stay, I'll stay. Wherever you say it's okay to sleep, I'll sleep. And where you say it's not, I won't." Next, he says, "You know, gadinon sheishmios v'yud gimel. There are 613 mitzvos. You're entering into a big serious obligation. Our people have a serious obligation here. She says, Ameh Chami, whatever your people have to do, I'll do. And she says, Asir Lan, this is again, no mitrus, Asir Lan Avodis Kechavim. Avodah Zarah is Asir. You grew up with it, it's Asir. She says, Elokai Chelokai, your God is my God. She tries one more time. She says, Arba Misas Nimsur Lebezdin. There are punishments of some things that you can do as averos, and the punishment for some of them is death. She says, "Basher tamusi amus." However you die, I'll die. Whatever it is, the way I'm going to do whatever you do. Beis kvarim nimsur lebezdin, and Bezdin has certain cemeteries and certain cemetery plots for use in cases of executions of chulu, and you know it's not a pleasant thing. She says, Vishamekaver, wherever you're buried, I'll be buried. Answers Naomi, or Naomi says to herself afterward, Vatera kimitzam esesi. I see that she is strong, she is resolved, and she's not leaving the Jewish fold. So that seems to be the dialogue back and forth. Now, Rus, again, in the middle of all this, is saying, stop pushing me to leave. I'm not leaving. Rus Rabbit says, Mikol makim. We mentioned this yesterday, and Art saw the Igeres Shmuel that says this. It says, Mikom Mokim, Daiti Lizgayer. Listen, I, no matter what, I am going to convert. Mutuv al yadech, v'lo yadech hers. It's better for me if you are my, I'm going to say sponsor, you're my entree, you know, I come into the Jewish people with you. But, I'm coming anyway. Near the Nami Miyana Megaira. She didn't want to. We have a statement that says, Koshim Geirim Yisrael Kisapachas, that the Geirim are like a sore, it's hard, and people, it's a lot of difficult times. People don't often know how to relate to Geirim. They're always worried, did I say the wrong thing? Am I going to say that? Geir is a Jew. At this point, Geir is a Jew. And you have to relate to the Geir as a Jew, not a newcomer. Previous non-Jew. So she didn't want. She didn't want it. V'lo ratzel digrom shum peronis l'chal Yisrael. And if it's true that there's trouble in Klal Yisrael because of Geirim, Naomi didn't want to be responsible for it. V'yalzeh yeshiva Rus l'Naomi. He says, listen. Rus says, mikol mokim, daiti lizgayer. I am going to convert. V'yein achrayiz gerusi mutelos alaych. And it's not because of you. I mean, it's not, you're not responsible. If you don't want me, I'm going to go with somebody else, but I'm going to convert. Mutav kvar shi'al yodeich. It'd be better for me, v'lo yodeich heres, mishum hodis merbish rabba, ala posik v'yesa nefesh yisrael suchan. You're making a new nefesh. It's a beautiful thing what you're doing. But, in the end, if you really push me away, I'm just going to convert. I'm going to go do a different rabbi. I'm going to convert. It's just... It says, "Call me Shehu Mekarves Akum and Megayro Kilu Barai." It says by Avram Avinu, "It's a nefesh asher asu b'charon." How do they say that? Rashi says on that Avram was Megayro a man and Sarah was Megayro's women. It says, "It's like you created me. It's like you created a new person." Lachin kasher, and this explains what kasher holida rus besof leboaz nechshav avlad lenami. What did it say? Bein yulad lenami. When Oved was born, everybody celebrated at the bris and said, look, it's like Naomi has a child. Naomi has a child now. Now, we know that there's in the Sefer Gilgulim, it's referenced that Machlon's, the Gilgul of Machlon was Oved. So that Oved came into the world, he was the Gilgul of Machlon anyway, so it's like Naomi's son has returned to the world. But what we're really saying here is that the efforts that Naomi had and the connection that Naomi has to Rus, it's as if she created Rus. It's as if she's her daughter. So if, in fact, she's her daughter and a grandchild is born or a child is born to Rus, that is Oved, it is Ben Yulad L'Naomi. It is like a child is born to Naomi. Okay, so we'll stop there. And next week we'll pick up around Pasuk Yud Zayin.
Rabbi Talbert, yeah. It was a family that, that had...